Micah chapter 24. In the first five verses, we learn that Amulon and his priests are made teachers over the Lamanites, but they teach them nothing about God. Again, now what we learn is that they truly are hypocrites, and that they never had any intent when they were with Noah to teach the people anything about the law, Moses, or God. But they do teach them to write and taught them about the cunning and the wisdom of the world, and this was to enable them to start carrying on trade and so forth, which what the cunning and wisdom was, they taught them how to be salesmen and so forth. And so then they used this to go off and do wickedness and to plunder. Now again, what is plunder? Plunder is to take what others produce and you don't do any of their production, but to take from those that do produce, which, you know, it can also be as they did with Alma, meaning that they take slaves, but it also can mean that we use our cunning cunning of trade to trade with the people who are farming, say, for their food, but we take a great deal of food, then we take it to our people and trade with them, and we get rich, and as I said, they got rich, and then the people doing this trading get rich, but the people doing the producing, they just make a fair means. And not a fair means, they get the minor portion of the trade. But it also says that they did not do this amongst their own brethren. Now, note the word. What does this brethren mean? Obviously, they were doing this amongst all the other Lamanites, so it just meant their own immediate group. Or in our case today, it's very similar to this, because we see that it's all right for a Mormon to go out in the world and participate in all the worldly activities and have all the cunning of salesmen and lawyers and the deception of doctors and so forth and make great deals of money far and above what's reasonable all by stirring up their own crafts. But as long as they treat those in their own ward fairly and so forth, then they're considered honest. And we really have to see a lot of similarity here. And again, the interesting thing is they would say the same thing, that they do not do they do not try and take someone else or plunder someone else, or meaning amongst their own brethren. Or as long as they're not detected amongst their own brethren. The fact is that even today, these kind of plunder is fine even amongst your own brethren, as long as it's accepted. So in some case, you could say that even the Lamanites even had a higher amount of integrity when it came to the use of the cunning of the world. Well, anyway, as we always see with people who are given authority, they have to feel that authority, and so Amulon, even though he was under the king of the Lamanites, he still has to exercise and usurp as much authority as he can, so he begins to push Alma and his brethren around, and even he teaches his children to do the same. So he's beginning to teach them the very idea of great wickedness of dominating other people. So so this is a great affliction amongst we just call them the people of Alma. So therefore they begin to cry to God. Notice that they are therefore turning to God in all things. And again, continue to see the signs of the character of the true followers of Christ. So therefore that Amulon says that anyone crying to God is to be put to death. And now we see why indeed we would start to rank these, as we did when we was talking in the story of Limhi, why we rank them as sons of perditions, and because they just would go to their wickedness no matter what and turn away from everything. And the reason we knew this, and now we see that by them telling the people that they cannot pray, that this meant that he knew of God, and he thought that the act of praying would bring down God upon him, and so therefore he need to cut off this praying. But notice that it's also what happens when we begin to believe in ordinances and believe that the saving power is in ordinances, and in our courts, in the judicial system, or in the government. See, that's the same thing as technicalities. meaning when we begin to these ideas that everything is just based on a technicality, it's not based on justice in the judicial system and honor and fairness and taking care of people. It's just based on these technicalities. In the churches, that become ordinances. Well, see, here he says, well, if I can therefore, by the technicality that they can't pray, I can therefore cut off their communication with God, and therefore God won't help them. And it shows this warped idea of the God, just all God cares about is these ordinances and again the technicality of the ordinances. And so well the true followers know that that's really not what's important. What's important is that God can hear us. He can hear us in our mind, and hear our hearts, and so they just pour their hearts out to him. And the Lord says to be of good cheer, because he remembers the covenant that he has made with them. And then we have to ask, what covenant? What covenant did he make? And what was the special covenant he made with them? And we have to ask, where was it? Well, what was the covenant? Was the baptismal covenant, or the covenant he made that they had made when they said that they wanted to enter into baptism, or they wanted to be true followers of him? And in their case, they took this serious. Now, what is that covenant? It says the covenant is that you follow the Lord. And if you follow the Lord, then he'll take care of everything else. I mean, he'll be your provider, he'll be your protector, and he'll be your progressor. He'll do all these things for you. And he says, therefore, he would live up to that covenant. In fact, in verse 14, then, he begins by showing them his power in easing their burden. And in this verse, the Lord calls them my people, meaning that they are his true followers, and he's accepted them as my people. And once you enter true baptism with a true heart, you become his a true follower, and therefore you become his people, and he will take care of all these three things for you, but as long as you keep your eyes single to following him. Now, their burdens are made light, and therefore they submit. Now, notice how it says they submit. It says in verse 15, they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord. See, they didn't submit to the Lamanites. They believed that every experience in life was there because that's what the Lord had prepared them for, that experience in life. So therefore, when they submitted to anything, they were submitting to the will of the Lord. And that was what their desire always was to be doing the will of the Lord, and that's what they seek. And now, always pay attention to that word will of the Lord and deciding your life, are you seeking the will of the Lord? Well, in 16, they said that their faith and their patience, and they said because of their faith and their patience, that then the Lord said that I'll deliver you on the morrow. Well, again, what are we saying here? See, this whole experience, this is how they believe. This is why they submitted cheerfully. Because this whole experience, and he'd said it previously, was to build their faith and their patience. Meaning that it was just, they didn't care that it was bondage or what it was. It was just some experience that the Lord has created for them to build these two personal characteristics and to have character development. Once the character development had taken place, then there was no more need for the experience. And so therefore the Lord delivered them. And that's how we're to do, and this is just a tremendous example of how in our lives we're supposed to view our entire lives, that our life is just experience after experience that the Lord has created for us. And if we truly seek those experiences that are according to the Lord, or the Lord creates for us, meaning we seek his will concerning us, then that's all life is one experience after the other that the Lord has, and the only person that we have to turn to is the Lord. And that's again why you see in the earlier days when Lehi would murmur to the Lord. In essence, though, we still have to say that that's not a righteous thing to do, but at least it showed where his eye was, and his eye was single to the Lord. And so when he repented of this murmuring, it wasn't as difficult, because for it wasn't held as hard on him as it would be somebody that doesn't murmur against the Lord. They just go their own way, because nonetheless Lehi had made his whole life the Lord, and even in his anger he still knew that the only thing of this life was between him and the Lord. Lehi was not immediately thrown away or cast off, because he was because nonetheless he kept his eye, he's single to the Lord in all things. And this is a lot different state than others really think about their lives. Well, nonetheless, the experience was over, so therefore they learned everything. It was time for him to be delivered. So that night, the Lord caused a sleep to come on the Lamanites, and then he let the true followers of Christ depart with their flocks and grain into the wilderness. Again, note that they didn't care about their gold and silver. All they cared about was the things to sustain life so that they could continue in this life to serve the Lord. Their eye was single to the Lord, so all they needed was their grains and their flocks. But notice the people of Limhi took their gold and silver, and this was mentioned specifically so that we might clearly see the difference between these two people and see that the people of Limhi were of the terrestrial level rather than celestial level. And in fact, we can't really number the people of Limhi as being true followers of Christ. But nonetheless, they will receive a glory to the degree with which they would follow the Lord. And that's when the Lord came to them. And again, the people of Limhi certainly did not seek the will of the Lord. Well, in verses 21 and 22, they show their thanks to God. And they're thankful for this bondage. I mean, they didn't say, well, gee, we've did all these things for you and we left Noah. How come you put it into bondage? No, they kept their eye on the Lord. And they said, they could have kept us in bondage forever, but the Lord has delivered us, and he's going to continue to progress us and take care of us. And they could see that this was all the Lord's work, and that the Lord had truly delivered them, and the Lord would take care of them. And so they were thankful. Were the people of Limhi, did they mention they were thankful? No, they just go on about their lives being, we'll just call them good men, and serving the Lord to the degree with which the church or leaders or the Lord himself comes and tells them, but they're not seeking to be true followers of the Lord. So then the Lord tells them to stop doing that and be on their way, and that because the Lamanites are coming, then if they do that, then they will then the Lord will stop the Lamanites. And here again we learn that the Lord fights the battles of the true followers. If you're a true follower of the Lord, you don't have to go to battle like the people of Limhi did and then ask for the Lord's support. He'll fight your battles for you. And in this case, we see that again. He just tells his true follower to move on, and he'd fight their battles for them. And that's why, again, we'll see later in the Book of Mormon, why you find the true followers of Christ are not the entire church of Christ, or not the entire church. They're found within the church. And in this case, they then move on, and in 12 days are in Zarahemla. Well, they become part of the people of Zarahemla. Now, the people of Zarahemla aren't made up of all true followers of Christ, but in amongst them are the true followers, and they obviously are an aid and help to their other people. To those people, but they will remain true followers, and they are the ones who will inherit the celestial kingdom.